Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
Lots to talk about.
Tech Guide.
It's a very well-rounded product, combines great design, great technology, lots of excellent features.
Tech Guide.
This is why Samsung has seen a huge surge, why their profits are up.
Keeping you updated and educated, this is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is not an ultrabook. If you're looking for something small, slim and lightweight, then you need to look elsewhere.
Tech Guide.
Probably one of the most impressive little devices I've seen in quite a while.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Hello and welcome to Tech Guide episode 92. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading. This is the podcast that keeps you updated and educated about the latest consumer technology. My name is Stephen Fenwick, editor of techguide.com.au. On this week's show, we're going to talk about a serious online vulnerability called Heartbleed. Sonos has partnered with Google for new streaming options, and you can now control your home with your voice. In the Tech Guide reviews, we're going to run our eye over the brand new Samsung Galaxy S5, Seagate's new external hard drives that back up your computer and mobile device, and the new life-proof cases that make your iPads waterproof. And we'll wrap things up with the Tech Guide Help Desk. And it's all brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. A big show planned, so let's get cracking. Well, our first story is about Heartbleed. This is an alarming vulnerability that has been exposed on some secure websites. Now, usually when you are on a shopping site or a banking site, it uses a security option called SSL, which is short for Secure Sockets Layer. That kind of guarantees the users, the visitors to that site, that their interactions are secure. So whether you're entering password information, credit card, financial information, then with having an SSL certificate and a little padlock in the address line means that that is supposed to be secure. Well, the alarm bell started ringing when this new vulnerability called Heartbleed was discovered last week. Now, what Heartbleed has managed to do is actually find a loophole in the SSL setup. Now, how SSL works is this. What happens is your computer sends a pulse to the SSL server to say, are you there? Yes, I am. Let's connect. And it's secure. Now, what this what Heartbleed has managed to do was send a malicious heartbeat to the SSL servers to trick that server into sending back chunks of information. And in this case, those chunks of information were sensitive passwords, credit card information. So information that's meant to be protected by the very SSL layer that's been put into place. So what does this mean for normal users to shopping websites and banks? Well, the thing is, there's nothing that we can do at our end. It all has to happen at the server end for these particular websites. So they're putting together patches and various fixes for this problem to ensure that this doesn't happen again. So until those sites have done that, have gone through that process, we really can't do anything. So the advice would be to wait until you hear from those particular sites. I've already received a couple of emails suggesting that I change my password. The vulnerability has been patched up and passwords need to be changed to ensure we're not endangered. So best advice would be to wait until you are told by these particular sites to change your password. Wait until you get that notification before you go ahead and change it. If you actually change it ahead of time, then you may still be exposed. That new password may still be part of that vulnerability. So, look, it can't hurt also to make sure we're running internet security software that's up to date. But the alarming part about this is that this threat was not, there was no file, there was no physical evidence that it even happened. This was totally network based. So there was no file that was downloaded or installed. It was purely network born. So that is again another worry and something that obviously these major sites are desperately trying to keep on top of, because it's not only affecting financial sites and shopping sites, things like that, but you think of social media sites where there's all this information as well. So like even sites like Facebook and Twitter, really keep an eye on those accounts, because you may be told to change your password. Another good idea too would be to keep an eye on your online accounts, your financial accounts, to make sure there's no suspicious activity. So keep an eye on those. You don't want those being affected, and if they are, you know to do something about it. That Heartbleed vulnerability is a real worry, but there is something we can do about it. I've actually linked on Tech Guide on my story. There is a McAfee has actually created a test tool to see if the sites that you visit have been affected by Heartbleed. You can link through to that story and read a little bit more about Heartbleed at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Well, Sonos is already a very popular brand in the marketplace. They make some excellent wireless speakers that can be placed around the home. They've got an excellent app as well that can be used to control all your speakers, whether they're individually playing or playing all together the same music. But just last week, they've announced a partnership with Google for new music streaming options. Now, what this basically means is that anyone who's running the Google Play Music app can now actually direct the music from their account, from that very app, to the Sonos speaker system. So you don't need to actually use the Sonos app. You can actually go from within the Google Play Music app. So your speakers, your Sonos speakers should come up in a list of connect to device, in the connect to device option. So whether you've got your Sonos scattered around your home, you may have one in your living room, in your office, in a bedroom. So you can now send from your Android device, of course, this is an Android app, being a Google app, of course, Google Play Music. So now you can stream that music right from your Android device from within the Google Play Music app. Of course, you can also include Google Play Music within the Sonos controller. Sonos also can also stream music from other services like Spotify, RDO, a number of others, and now Google Play Music as well. But it is the first time I've seen the ability to stream to Sonos from an app. So that's a first. Google Play is a service for music lovers to actually replicate their personal collection online. You can have up to 20,000 tracks replicated online, so you can stream your favorite music from anywhere on any Android device. There are more than 22 million tracks in the Google Play Music Store, so lots and lots of things to listen to there. You can even create your own radio station and enjoy free streaming music based on the type of music that you like the best. Sonos, a terrific brand with their wireless speaker systems, and now have a new friend with Google. And you can read more about that story at techguide.com.au. Now, there's all sorts of control systems in people's homes, from the latest Wi-Fi systems to a little bit more sophisticated systems that can truly control your whole home, really make it a smart home. So in terms of home automation, you've got existing control systems like Crestron, AMX, Control4. These are the big boys that are for the higher-end home automation scenario. Well, a new product has just been released that can tap into those high-end systems called Voice Viper. Now, what it does, as its name suggests, is allow you to control your existing systems just by talking to it. So it's a truly hands-free experience where you can take control of the lights, the shade, your home theater system, security systems. So just by using your voice, so you can issue commands like open the shades or turn on the projector, turn off the lights, dial my friend Steve, make it warmer. So these phrases, because of the Voice Viper recognizing natural language commands, means that you can literally just talk to your home to control it. Now, the Voice Viper needs to be hardwired and installed to your existing system. It's quite a sophisticated piece of electronics here, and it does, though, really tap into the existing system. So rather than you having to hold a remote control, press any buttons, you can be anywhere where you've placed microphones to receive your voice. You may place several microphones around your home, say in the home theater or in the living area, wherever you want to be heard to issue these commands, and away you go. Now, this isn't a cheap system, but if you are running a Crestron, AMX, Control 4, or any other of those high-end systems, you've probably got a high-end system to begin with. So you spent about a bit of money already on your system. But the Voice Viper is also useful as a hands-free tool for handicapped users. It's been seen to be a real way to help promote independent living for certain individuals who may not be as physically able to control products and things like that. Well, this really gives them a whole new way of doing things, and as I said, it promotes that independent living. Now down to the price. Voice Viper is priced at $3,999. It's available from Advance Audio Australia. I think that price also comes with professional installation to be hardwired to your existing control system. If you're going to spend this type of money, you've already got a system in place, I would imagine. So this isn't the sort of system that you would add to, say, a Belk and a light switch that costs you $79. This is a system you would add to a sophisticated, fully home automated system that controls everything in your home, not just the lights, but also there's a home theater or, you know, climate control security. It's a sophisticated system to begin with. But good to know that there is technology like this out there, because usually it takes a product like this to come into the market. Obviously, new technology costs a lot of money. That's why this costs $3,999. But what we're hoping happens, what eventually happens, and what does happen, is that this technology filters down to a more acceptable and affordable level. So he's hoping that Voice Viper, although it is a tad expensive for most people, is a truly useful product for those that can afford it, and one day will come down to the level of a regular consumer and be part of our everyday home automation usage. You're listening to Tech Guide.
Keeping you updated and educated.
This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finney.
Tech Guide.
The Tech Guide podcast is proudly brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. And they've just released the new AC750 Wi-Fi range extender. You can now give your home a Wi-Fi boost with Netgear's new Wi-Fi range extender EX6100. You can optimize your existing Wi-Fi network and extend it to hard-to-reach places throughout your home. The EX6100 delivers fast Wi-Fi speed and connectivity for smartphones, tablets, laptops and more, allowing you to enjoy your favorite entertainment throughout your home. Wherever you happen to have a tablet or a laptop, maybe it's in the backyard or in a bedroom, this Wi-Fi range extender from Netgear, the EX6100, can help get that networked into those places. It comes in a convenient wall plug design, and this extender has two Wi-Fi modes, so it can be used as an extender to boost existing Wi-Fi, or simply flick it to access point mode to create a brand new AC Wi-Fi access point. The EX6100 AC750 Wi-Fi range extender from Netgear is available now. You can go to www.netgear.com.au.
Tech Guide.
Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fennett.
All right, leading our Tech Guide reviews, well, you could really not have a bigger product release for this week, at least anyway. The Samsung Galaxy S5 is finally here, Samsung's brand new flagship smartphone. And I have to say, I've been using it for a few days now, and I'm liking what they've produced. Now, the Galaxy S5 is a decent update. It's I think the parts of this device is that this device that's been improved areas that are really going to benefit the user. The Galaxy S4 was a great phone, but it seemed bloated with all these gimmicky features that all the attention was placed onto those features. The Galaxy S5, I think, has been sort of given more a measured approach by the company, and as a result, the product is really, really delivers in certain areas, and as the new designs are really useful and relevant to everyday users. Let's look at the design. It does look slightly different. I think it looks more like the Galaxy Note 3 than the Galaxy S4, to be honest. It's got that similar ridged silver edging that the Note 3 has. It's a little bit squarer than the S4. The S4 had more rounded edges. But it does share a lot of features from both of those products. Now, there is less emphasis on the smart eye stay. I don't think eye scrolling is even on this anymore. All the features that were kind of weighing down the S4 are still available with the S5, but they're buried deep in menus where if you do want to use them, then that's up to you. It's kind of like 3D on a television. You know it's there, and you can access it whenever you want, but it's not the be-all and end-all of the product. Now, the design, the back panel has a new sort of dimple design, and one complaint of the S4 and the S3 was the fact that it felt a bit plasticky in your hand, that back panel was very thin and flimsy. The back panel is still removable, I should add, but it does have a sort of more leathery feel, and it's covered in those small dimples on the back, so you get a better grip on the product. But overall, quality has improved slightly. It's no HTC M8 made of metal or anything like that, but it does have a feel of quality nonetheless. One of the new features is the fact that it is actually waterproof. The Galaxy S5 has a seal across the bottom of the ports on the micro USB ports along the bottom, and you are constantly reminded to make sure that the back cover is clipped into place thoroughly, just to make sure that no water gets in. If you forget one of those clips, then we hasten to add that you may be ruining your phone if you do dunk it in water or there is a spill nearby. So make sure that back cover is sealed. Traditionally, waterproof devices are sealed products where the whole back cover cannot be removed. So this is unusual for a product to be waterproof with a removable back cover. So make sure all those clips around the edges are sealed tight. You don't want to be ruining your phone. It's also, of course, running Android 4.4.2, the KitKat operating system, 16 megapixel camera, which is a real improvement on the camera of the S4. Not only is there actually more resolution, but it's now got HDR. It's got a few other modes. It takes some pretty impressive images. Probably another significant feature is the addition of a fingerprint sensor underneath the home button. Now, this, of course, can be used to unlock the device. It can also be used to authorize PayPal payments. And I think a report came through that Westpac, well, I think we're going to become the first bank to allow S5 the fingerprint reader to authorize payments through Westpac as well. So that's good news. But the fingerprint reader allows you to program up to 3 fingers on the device. The iPhone 5S, just for the record, allows you to program 5. Now, when you are scanning your finger across the home button, it's quite a thin home button on the S5. You really have to come across the center of the button. I program my 2 thumbs and a forefinger. And what I found is that trying to unlock it with my thumb with one finger, because my thumb was coming in at an angle, not coming directly down through the fingerprint sensor, it meant that I had to actually hold the device with my other hand and then scan my thumb down straight across the home button. That wasn't a problem. It is not a problem that I have with the iPhone. I can easily unlock the iPhone finger using the fingerprint sensor no matter what angle I come at to the home button. So that's kind of a tick against the Galaxy S5, I think, in that case. But it does add that security, which is easy. It's better than remembering a passcode, although there is an alternative password that you can set in case that you cannot activate it with the fingerprint sensor. But I found that the fingerprint reader worked 99 times out of 100, so that's pretty reliable. The other features of the device device. There is still, as I mentioned, there's a smart stay is still there, but you can also use, there's the S Translator, which can be downloaded as another app as well. You can also, of course, link to the Gear 2, the Gear Fit, so there is a whole health aspect to it. There's even a heartbeat sensor, heart rate sensor on the back of the device. So just below the camera lens, there's a little indentation where the flash, the LED flash is. The middle of that indentation is actually a heartbeat sensor. So when you in that mode, a bright red light shines into the tip of your finger to detect your blood flow, which in turn is your heart rate, which is very interesting as well. But I do have to make mention of the battery of the Galaxy S5. The battery performance is actually vastly improved, I found. So I got, for my initial usage of the product, was more than a day and a half on one charge, which I think is very impressive. But there is an ultra power saving mode that can put the S5 into such a low level of power use that you can actually run it on standby for days at a time. I just tested it. I was down to about 55% on the battery. I thought, how much could I get on standby if I flick it into ultra power saving mode? It said I had 6.4 days of standby. And what happens, it turns the screen into a black and white screen and just provides essentials like talk, text, an app, and then it lets you set three other features that you want to access. But every time the screen goes to sleep, Wi-Fi and Bluetooth turn off, so it really powers down when the device is asleep. So pretty good. Another feature I did in mind as well was the download booster. So if you need to download a file, you can actually combine 4G and Wi-Fi to allow you to speed up that download. So when they work together, you can get up to a 90% speed bump from the added network, whether it's that you've added Wi-Fi, you've added 4G to the procedure. It'll help you download those files even faster. If you want to read my full review of the Samsung Galaxy S5, you can see how many stars I gave it out of 10. Price-wise, by the way, it's $929 if you want to buy it outright or, of course, on a plan. But you could read my complete review at techguide.com.au. Seagate is a name we all know pretty well when it comes to external hard drives and backup devices, and they've just brought out two brand new products that can back up not only your computer but also your mobile device. Now, the Seagate Backup Plus Fast and the Backup Plus Slim are both USB 3 devices that can connect and deliver transfer speeds of up to 220 megabytes per second. That's fast. So it's useful if you're out in the on the road. You may be a photographer or videographer who needs to move around large files. So the Seagate Backup Plus Fast is actually the world's first portable 4 terabyte drive. It's priced at $409, and that's ideal for those photographers and videographers who are producing large files and need to move them around, need to carry them around with them on the road with them. The Seagate Backup Plus Slim is the world's thinnest 2 terabyte external drive. It's just 12.1 millimeters thick, and it too is USB 3 connectivity, so fast file transfer. But both of them come with software for organizing backups to your computer. So you can easily, whether you're running a PC or a Mac, you can easily set up these drives to give you a backup of your content. But there is another feature to these devices as well. You can download an app to make it possible to wirelessly back up your smartphone or tablet, whether it's Android or iOS. Now, I think that's a pretty cool feature because we kind of neglect the mobile device in terms of backup. We've still got so much content on our mobile devices, we don't really think of them as a device we need to back up. Well, it's good that the Seagate products give us that possibility, that flexibility to do that. Another feature of the Seagate dashboard, that the additional software, it means you can back up photos that you've already shared on social media. So if you've uploaded photos to Facebook and Flickr, you can actually back them up now. now on the drive. Even if you've been tagged in a photo, even if it's not your photo, but you've been tagged in it, the Seagate dashboard will recognize that and also back that up to your drive as well. The Seagate Backup Plus Fast is priced at $409, as I mentioned, 4 terabyte capacity. The Seagate Backup Plus Slim is $99 for the 500 gig, $119 for the 1 terabyte, and $189 for the 2 terabyte model. You can see what they look like at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finnick.
LifeProof make pretty good cases when it comes to if you want to make your device waterproof or shockproof, dustproof. LifeProof cases, the very latest versions of these cases are now out for the iPad Mini and the iPad Air. They're the very latest devices that LifeProof are now supporting that will make those products waterproof. So if you're you need to take your device out on a job site, or you may want to take it near to the pool or the beach and you don't want to get it wet, you may give it to your child to use. So whether it's shockproof or the dustproof or waterproof, any of these features, this protection with the LifeProof case just gives you a little bit of peace of mind so that you're not going to damage your precious iPad. There are two models available for the iPad Mini with Retina display. There's the Nude, that's NWD, and the Fray, which is FRE. And the Fray is fully encloses the iPad Mini, and there's also a model there for the iPad Air. So fully encloses the devices, including a thin transparent film to cover the display. So the whole thing is sealed inside the Fray case, but you can still interact with the touchscreen. You've got access to all the ports, the camera, you name it. It's just inside this LifeProof case, so no water, dust, or shock is going to affect this device inside. Now, the iPad Mini with Retina display, there is a Nude case for this. Now, the difference between the cases is the Nude case, and that's again spelled N-W, not the letter W, but two U's, N-U-U-D. The case has a patent pending screenless technology. So it actually seals, it creates a seal between the device and the screen. So there is nothing covering the screen of the iPad Mini with Retina display, but it is fully, the rest of the device is fully enclosed and sealed away from that screen. So if water touches glass, it's not going to leak into the device because it's glass. So it's kind of its own seal anyway. But the Nude case seals the rest of the device away. So it seals the screen away from the rest of the device, creates that watertight seal so that you don't actually need the transparent film across it. Even in water, it's just glass, which is waterproof anyway, and the touchscreen will still work. The LifeProof cases, the Nude and Fray for iPad Mini, priced at $129.95 for the Nude, $109.95 for the Fray. The LifeProof Fray for iPad Air is priced at $119.95. And if you want to see what they look like, you can have a look at them at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
A couple of topics to cover this week on the Tech Guide Help Desk. The first one came in an email to me. A gentleman wrote that he's got a new smart TV, but he had Wi-Fi in his house, but there wasn't Wi-Fi built into the TV, but he wanted to somehow link wirelessly his TV to the network, or not wireless. He wanted to link the TV to the network, and my suggestion was that if he wanted to maybe place a range extender near the television, he'll be able to then attach a network cable from that range extender, which plugs into the power point near the TV anyway, and then into the back of the TV because there is an Ethernet connection. So it's kind of using the wireless network with the range extender and then physically connecting it with a cable. So there's that possibility as well. Range extenders, apart from extending your wireless network, can also allow you to get put devices on the network with a cable. In this case, the smart TV, you may want to connect a gaming console or a Blu-ray player. But in this case, that would be a fine solution for his smart TV. And range extenders are about $100. They're probably even cheaper than that. And that he's got full connectivity, extending his network not only into his lounge room, but also connecting it physically to the TV to then take advantage of all the smart TV functionality. Now, the second part of this week's Tech Guide Help Desk is about printers. And I had an interesting question where somebody asked, look, I know there are a lot of cheap printers about, but I'm forever buying new cartridges. Is there a printer that I can buy where the price of ink cartridges, and I'm not buying new ink cartridges once a week? Well, the key to this little dilemma is this. If you're spending $90 on a printer, those printers are going to burn through inkjet cartridges rather quickly. You think about it. Companies sell you a very cheap printer. They're going to make their money back because they burn through ink a lot faster. So my advice would be spend $200 or $300 on a decent printer, and you'll still have to pay for consumables, but you'll find that the more expensive printer that uses ink a lot, it makes it last a lot longer. It's a little bit more efficient in its use of ink. So in the long run, that extra $100 you're going to spend is probably one less. You buy a full set of ink cartridges, there's $100 there anyway. So that extra $100 when you purchase your printer, you're going to save it down the track and then some when you run out of ink. So that's a thought to keep in mind. They may be attractive, those cheap printers, but you're going to have your hand in your pocket quite often buying new inkjet cartridges. You're listening to Tech Guide. And that's our show for another week. Boy, that went quick. You can read more about anything that we've talked about on the show at techguide.com.au. Speaking of shows, I'm still at the Tech Arena at the Royal Easter Show, hosting the Tech Arena Theatre. We're giving 4 presentations a day, 10, 12, 2 and 4 p.m. If you're at the Easter Show, I'd love you to come down and say g'day. Tell me that you listen to the Tech Guide podcast, and I hope you can join us at the Tech Arena Theatre. Special thanks to our sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can try for all your Wi-Fi needs. If you want to stay connected, the answer is Netgear. Thanks for listening. It's been great having your company. We look forward to bringing you another episode of Tech Guide next week. So until then, stay safe and stay connected.